The feast we celebrate today was such a momentous event in the history of the world that it literally reset the clock of the human race. Every clock and every calendar in the world, if those things existed in those days, was set back to zero on the night that Christ was born. And we count every year and every day from this event as a starting point. The birth of Christ was such a momentous occasion that even now, in a time of universal paganism again, people still use the birth of Christ as the zero hour of the world, as the central event of history. This is something that only God himself could have brought about, to convince the entire human race to accept this event as the defining moment of history, in such a way that it is now impossible to change that decision. The first major attack on Christendom and Christianity itself was the French Revolution, and those people understood the significance of the birth of Christ. So they tried to change the calendar to begin with the French Revolution as the year zero in their distorted revolutionary calendar. And yet this attempt was so pathetic and so feeble that most people are probably not even aware today of this strange footnote of history. It lasted only a few years before sanity was restored in France, and people went back to counting the years again from the birth of Christ. And truly, this is the turning point of history, because this is the most incredible thing that has ever happened to mankind. A few decades back, people thought that man landing on the moon was the greatest thing that ever happened, or was the greatest achievement of humanity. But that was insignificant and worthless in comparison with this tiny infant that is born tonight over 2,000 years ago, who would change the course of the world as only God could. We should meditate tonight on the great generosity of God the Father for sending his Son to take our human nature and be born so that he could die for our sins. We should be grateful to him for his fidelity in fulfilling his promises when he said he would, and his immense love for mankind because of his compassion on us to raise us out of our misery and give us an opportunity to go to heaven after mankind had thrown that possibility away. With God the Son, we should think about his goodness to us in becoming man and coming on earth to die for our sins. We should imitate his infinite virtues, his perfect obedience to his Father's will, and we should be grateful for his tremendous love for us in wanting to save us from our sins at the greatest cost to himself. We should imitate his spirit of poverty and humility and simplicity. There is so much to think about in this great mystery today. We can think about Our Lady and her immaculate virginity, and yet her miraculous fruitfulness at the same time, and her overwhelming desire to follow God's will, even at the cost of tremendous suffering to herself. We should think about Saint Joseph and his great reverence and obedience to God, and his tremendous love of God in doing whatever was asked of him to care for the Holy Family. What a great example to fathers to always do God's will and not their own will in the way that they raise their families. We should consider also the shepherds and think about their simplicity and their faith to go and search out the baby Jesus and believe that he was God only because the angels told them. On this great feast day, God also sanctified this great event with numerous miracles that took place all over the world to prepare the world for the coming of Christ. There's a beautiful sermon that Saint Bonaventure gave in the Middle Ages on the feast of Christmas, where he lists 12 different miracles that God worked on the night that our Lord was born that show how God wanted to transform the world and reset the clock of the human race in every possible way. I wanted to go through this amazing list of miracles today so we can see how God truly made the earth a fitting dwelling place for his Son and prepared the human race for his coming. The first miracle was that a bright star appeared in the east, which showed the form of a tiny infant. And above this infant and this shining star, there was a cross to show the mission that this infant would have in the world. The second miracle that St. Bonaventure tells us was that in the middle of the day, over the Capitoline Hill in Rome, there was a golden circle that appeared in the sky near the sun. And in that circle, there was the most pure virgin that gave birth to an infant. To show that that infant was born the monarch of the entire world. The third miracle was that the Temple of Peace in Rome collapsed to the ground. When this pagan temple was built, the devils were asked how long it would last, and they answered that it would stand until a virgin gave birth to a son. The pagans probably interpreted this as meaning that it would stand forever, since such a thing is naturally impossible. But the temple collapsed when God brought this about. And this was a sign that this child who would be born would destroy the idols of the pagans. Fourthly, in Rome, there was a great well of oil that sprang out of the ground and flowed into the Tiber River. And this showed that the mercy of God had begun to flow into the world. And this also indicated that Rome would soon be the source from which the healing teachings of the popes would spread throughout the entire world. This well of oil is still venerated to this very day. There's a beautiful church in the Trastevere area of Rome that is built on this exact spot. And there is a monument on the floor on the exact spot of this well of oil, which says that this is where the oil came out of the ground on the night that our Lord was born. The fifth miracle was that when our Lord was born on that same night, there was a plant called the vine of Engadi. That perfume was made out of, and it sprouted everywhere, and it flourished, and it produced the most sweet fragrance. In order to show that the child that was born would make the spiritual world flourish and grow and give fruits, and that the fragrance and sanctifying grace and virtue that our Lord was bringing into the world would spread everywhere. Sixthly, there were 30,000 criminals put to death by the Roman emperor, and this would show that our Lord would subject the whole world by his faith, and that the wicked would be sent to hell. The seventh miracle was that all the Sodomites in the world died, both male and female, to show that our Lord had come to reform nature and to promote the virtue of purity. This is an astonishing assertion, but we have it on the authority of Saint Jerome, who lived in the 4th century, and he was relating an ancient tradition. The eighth miracle was that brute animals spoke in Judea, including two oxen, so that we would see that our Lord would make even the most degraded human beings behave like rational people. The ninth miracle was that all the idols of Egypt were destroyed on the night of our Lord's birth. This is according to the prophet Jeremiah. This was a sign that was given to the Egyptians to make them understand that our Lord was the only one worthy of adoration, along with the God the Father and God the Holy Ghost. The tenth miracle was that when our Lord was lying in the manger, the ox and the donkey in the manger also knelt before him, as if they had reason of their own, and they adored him. And this is something that is commemorated in every manger scene to this very day. We have those two animals kneeling down, adoring the baby Jesus. The 11th miracle was that the whole world was at peace, as the prophets foretold, to show that our Lord was the Prince of Peace, and that he would promote peace throughout the entire world, and that those who followed him would enjoy peace for all eternity. The doors of the Temple of Janus in Rome had been closed for only the third time when our Lord was born. Those doors that were only closed when there was no war taking place anywhere on earth. Last of all, in the east, there were three suns that appeared in the sky, which slowly merged into a single sun to show the mystery of the Holy Trinity. This last one is not exactly a miracle since it can happen naturally. It's called a parhelion. It's kind of a trick of the light, but it is very rare. So the fact that it took place at the birth of Christ shows us this mystery of the Holy Trinity and the way that our Lord united the divinity and the humanity in his person. The birth of our Lord is the beginning of our redemption. It is a joyous event for all of us who want to be saved. But it takes work on our part in order for us to be saved. We have to pray and receive the sacraments and attend Mass and use the means of grace that he gave us out of his pure generosity to help us get to heaven. Let us not waste these things, these opportunities, but rather use them as much as possible, and we will be saved in the end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son.